You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast and PewterReport.com. We are in prime time for this episode, and it's going to be a fun one as we are live from Indianapolis, Indiana, for the NFL Combine, where we had an absolutely stacked day talking to the Bucs brass, the brain trust of the 2024 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, you're seeing it on the screen. We spoke with Jason Light, both privately and up at the podium. We spoke with Todd Bowles, also privately and up at the podium, and got a wealth of information that we are looking forward to sharing with the Pewter people on today's or tonight's show. I'm your host, Matt Matera, joined with me, sitting right next to me, is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com. It is SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, very fun day today.
It was.
A lot of information to get into as well. So let's get right into it with all of our Bucs conversation. I think the first thing everybody wanted to know, of course, was the responses and the reactions from Todd Bowles and Jason Light. Obviously, we started the day with a bit of news. Shaq Barrett was released by the Buccaneers, checks off one box of something that was expected, but still, you know, kind of sad nonetheless with what he meant to the Buccaneers. So your reaction to the news that started the day?
Yeah, no surprise. We dedicated a whole show to it last week,
yes,
right?
We did.
I mean, this is something the Pewter Report has forecasted before the end of the season. This was a move that was going to be coming. And it's a move that happens for a couple reasons. Josh Capo is going to get into kind of the hows and the whys with the salary cap, but I think more importantly, the Buccaneers wanted to get younger at that position, Matt.
Yeah.
You look at Shaq Barrett, the declining production for a player that has made an average of $18 million per year over the last couple of seasons. One of those was an injury-shortened season back in 2022, where he had the Achilles injury, came back last year, started every single game,
had
4.5 sacks. And while the pressures were there, the sack production wasn't, and you just look at the age and probably make that determination. Not going to get better, probably going to get worse as Father Time works on Shaq Barrett's body a little bit. And at the same time, too, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, right, has a contract year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think the team is going to be giving him the fifth-year option. So you want to see what he's going to do. Plus, Jason Light and Todd Bowles were very, very positive about a couple of the young edge rushers that we've talked about at Pewter Report for some time. Marquise Watts and
Jose Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez
was another one that Jason Light in particular was glowing about, which is not the most shocking thing if we're going to be realistic about it. I mean, we're talking about a sixth-round draft pick and
it was
undrafted,
the practice squad all year.
Yeah, and an undrafted free agent. And the undrafted free agent was the one that got more playing time than the draft pick himself. So, you know, Jason's certainly trying to hype up what they still have in-house with the Buccaneers outside of Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, who obviously hasn't really come up to par as well. But just, again, real quick on Shaq – obviously, a tough decision. Jason Light, we'll play the video as well, said it was tough for him to make that phone call. And it was actually the one, it was Shaq Barrett who was the one that was really kind of calming Jason Light down, yes, versus the other way around, which is what typically happens in those situations. But really the thing that I want to say, and obviously, you know, fans are very passionate one way or another when a guy gets cut, oh, good riddance, or no, they got to keep him.
Yeah.
I just want to highlight real quick how important Shaq Barrett was to this Buccaneers team.
No doubt.
You know, when he got here in 2019, 19 and a half sacks, broke the Bucs single season sack record, ended up fifth all time as he got live with 45 career sacks as a Buccaneer. So Shaq was so important to winning that Super Bowl in 2020. A true stand-up guy from beginning to end when he was with the Buccaneers. So I just want to commend Shaq for obviously what he meant to this team. And, you know, now there's talks already. We've had the discussions early on of will Shaq Barrett be a Bucs Ring of Honor member one day down the road. We can kind of table that conversation for another day, but certainly something to think about.
Let's hit the pause button on that, Matt. I think you're exactly right. When you look at the, you know, the things that and I'm not a Glazier, so I don't get a say-so in who goes in the Bucs Ring of Honor. If I did, Hardy Nickerson would be there.
Yes.
Simeon Rice.
James Wilder. Maybe.
James Wilder would be there, exactly. But for me, the criteria for Bucs Ring of Honor members is, what did you contribute to the team's success, and what did you do individually that, whether it's breaking a record,
correct,
right, or having some sort of milestone, like being in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
et cetera. You look at Shaq Barrett, he checks a lot of boxes. 19 and a half sacks, beat Warren Sapp's single season sack record.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tremendous feat right there. He finished in just 5 years in the top five at number five with 45 sacks, as you mentioned. Plus the Super Bowl, right, where
he was a menace.
He
a good one.
Could have easily been the MVP,
yes,
in that game. And then also contributed to two NFC South division titles,
mm-hmm,
following that. Actually, three when you count this past season. So even though one of those seasons was on injured reserve, he's a winner. He helped this team climb the ladder to the top rung, which is the Super Bowl. It also had that individual accomplishment where, Matt, I don't know when another Buccaneer player is going to get 19 and a half sacks in a season.
I mean, it may never happen.
It may never happen. Exactly. So hats off to Shaq Barrett for one heck of a career. It was a great run. And it will also go down, really, and you have to give a lot of credit to Bucs general manager Jason Light. I mean,
yes.
One year,
of the greatest free agent signings of all time.
Not
no just
doubt.
Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean, 1 year, $5 million prove-it deal.
Mm-hmm.
And as Todd Bowles said today, Shaq Barrett came to this organization with his hair on fire, played like it that year to prove that he was worth the money that he ultimately got paid after the franchise tag, that $18 million contract. He retires as a multimillionaire whenever his playing career is done.
Right.
I think it was important that the Buccaneers gave him this opportunity to – even though it's going to be a post-June 1 cap designation, and Josh will talk about all of the cap ramifications in the Shaq Barrett release, but more importantly, Matt, to give Shaq Barrett the opportunity to latch on with another team while teams are still flush with cap room.
And again, that goes back to something we talked about last week, Scott, of just the respect that players have for Jason Light and the respect that Jason Light gives to guys on his team and guys that are no longer on his team, because not every GM would do that. And again, you know, stand-up guy in Jason Light. Let's get to the Super Chat. Sticking with Shaq Barrett from David Van Dunn. Thank you, David, for this $1.99 Super Chat, who says, excuse me, now I'm getting choked up about Shaq Barrett. Any chance Shaq comes back on a cheap deal? That actually kind of got brought up to Jason Light as well.
And he closed the door.
He did not close the door on it. In my opinion, and kind of what I've gathered, I don't know if it would happen necessarily this season, because the Bucs does feel like edge rusher going to be a top pick this year, or at minimum second or third round. So I think they would kind of like to go in a different direction for one season. But again, next year, Anthony Nelson coming off the books, Joe Tryon-Shanka probably coming off the book. Anthony Nelson could be re-signed. I'm just saying, like, he wouldn't have a contract.
Yeah.
So if they could find an inexpensive veteran minimum for Shaq Barrett, and he's still around, and let's see what happens this year with Shaq. Maybe he feels even healthier on that Achilles injury, or, you know, finds a little something extra with having a new lease with another team. Never say never.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. One thing, too, that will be important to know, we appreciate that Super Chat very much, You're talking about edge rushers, Matt, and I think it's important for us to to talk about the fact that the Buccaneers edge rushers are coming into focus. And lo and behold, guess what? Our combine coverage really starts in earnest tomorrow when the players have interviews. That's where we get to determine, have you met with the Buccaneers?
Yeah.
Was it a formal interview? How serious is Tampa Bay's interest in you?
Who did you meet with the Buccaneers? Yes. Was it just Todd Bowles, or was it some of the assistant coaches as well? Those are all big things.
That's exactly right. And tomorrow's show, which will be at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So we have a primetime show tonight to kick things off, but we're back at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, live from Indianapolis. We're going to have the conversation with that man right there. That's Darius Robinson, the Missouri chiseled pass rusher. Yeah. This guy really came on like gangbusters when he got the chance to play outside for Missouri. So that's tomorrow's show at 4 o'clock. We'll have a chance to talk to inside linebackers and defensive linemen. The Buccaneers are probably going to be having a need for both of those guys. One of the things that we talked about today was maybe Devin White's return to the team. We have, at Peter Report, long reported that Devin White is not part of the team's plans for this year. Gosh, I want to say we maybe even talked about that back in September or October.
I want to say October. You came out with a statement where you said, I will sell my house if Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
And, if Todd Bowles. Well, Todd Bowles would be the one to be like, come back, Devin.
Yes.
But if Devin White ends up re-signing with this team, and if there was any shred of belief that there was that possibility,
right?
Jason Light in particular kind of put the dagger down this afternoon when it came to Devin White returning to the Buccaneers, because
really dismissed it.
He rattled off every single name of like every single big name player on the Buccaneers,
even Chase Edmonds
got more shout outs and references by Jason Light than Devin White, over Devin White. So it was very mum is the word from Jason Light. He really did not want to mention Devin unless he was asked about him. And again, like, Jason had multiple situations where he was like, we've been talking to Baker and Mike, and we'll talk about all that too. We got a tons of video of it. Antoine Winfield Jr., Lavonte David, not a word, not a shred about Devin White. So here is what he had to say. You know, we'll play first. One last comment about Shaq Barrett. We'll play that real quick, and then we'll get into more of the Devin White stuff.
He's an incredible person, as you guys all know. So you guys all cover us all the time. So I could go on and on. Obviously, a tremendous player. Calling him, letting him know, let him know on Friday. Did not want to make that call. At the same time, I did. I wanted to give him some time here to look for another team if that's what he wants to do. We can't officially release him until the beginning of the year. But he actually calmed me down on the call. He was, how much the organization has meant to him, what we've done for him, when actually it should have been the other way around. So, just with Anna and his whole family, just they'll always be Bucks, and we're going to always leave the door open for Shaq to be a Buck.
Especially the coach, actually. He came in hair on fire. He had a point to prove. He was getting by every offensive tackle in the league. He helped our Super Bowl run. He helped us be successful. He's a big part of the success we've had over the last 5 years. And, you know, that doesn't go unnoticed.
And then, of course, Jason Light talking about how if Devin White's going to get live, it'll probably be live with another team.
No, we're still trying to make some decisions on some of those other players. But Devin did some really good things for us throughout his career, but we're still sorting through some things. Yeah, there was a lot of factors with that. Might be a good question for Devin, but still did some good things for us.
What do you make of the inside linebacker room that's still currently here with Britt and Servase Dennis and the possibility of their role expanding next season?
Well, very excited about those guys, and I thought JJ did a nice job too for us when he stepped in as a starter. We'd like to have Lavonte back. We put him on that Mount Rushmore too of Bucks. I think everybody would. He had a hell of a year. Like to have him back too, but we are excited about that young group.
Close relationship. Have you had any conversations with Devin, and what can you see for his future in the NFL?
I texted him happy birthday about a week ago. that was the best thing. Devin can still play. Devin's a good football player. You know, we got a lot of guys up for free agency. We can't pay everybody. You know, the money's got to go somewhere. We're still making those decisions. And by the start of the new league year, we'll see where everything falls.
So based on those videos, Scott, I think the two biggest things that are indicative of Devin White not being back next season, I think first of all is Todd Bowles, because Todd Bowles has been a shield for Devin White,
yes,
especially this season, but for even longer than that. And we'll go to bat for him and we'll defend Devin as much as he possibly can.
You're right.
And when Todd says something like, well, there's only so much money to go around, we can't feed everybody, and the question was geared towards Devin White, I think that is super telling about what's going on. And then Jason, unprompted, just being like, we want to get Levante David in the Mount Rushmore of Bucks players. And when he wasn't even asked, you guys heard the question. I asked him about KJ Britt and some of the younger guys. And he goes, yeah, we want Levante back, but nothing about Devin White. I think those were the big signs that does not look like Devin White will be back.
I agree. And I think, too, you look at the graphic there, that's KJ Britt essentially taking the baton from Devin White.
Yeah, wow.
And
symbolism.
Yeah. And with KJ, it's so much easier, Matt, to move on from a player when you have a solution, right? When you know that you're going to have a problem, which is, all right, who's going to fill the void now? Who's going to be the starter at inside linebacker next to Levante David, assuming that Levante gets re-signed, which I expect he will. And quite frankly, KJ Britt proved down the stretch that he was a steady Eddie. And that was one thing they wanted to see from Devin White.
That's all they were asking for.
Sure, the splash plays are great. Yes, the big plays and all of the spectacular interceptions and sacks are great. But man, can you get off blocks? Can you fill your gap? Can you be steady? Can you be consistent? That's what they wanted to see from Devin White. And the splash plays really weren't there from KJ Britt. He's not the splashy player. He was a fifth-round pick, not the number five overall pick. And there's a difference right there in athleticism and speed. But, man, KJ Britt was solid enough, steady enough, that I think that between he and J.J. Russell and Servasio Dennis, and maybe they add another player in the draft to kind of shore up that spot and add some depth and competition, I think that they're okay to move on from Devin White from a player standpoint, not just a salary cap standpoint.
And they kind of already did. Like you said, passing the baton, KJ Britt playing. They've seen life without Devin White. And they can kind of move on with that life. Now, life without Levante David, we saw a smidgen of it this season when Levante was injured for a little bit. But I don't think the Bucs, as much as there's a lot of promise about Servasio Dennis, and who knows what they'll do this season, I don't know if the Bucs are ready just yet to have a defense that is not centered around Levante David.
With Levante David playing as well as he still is, even at age 33. And he's 34 now, and I'm not expecting any type of slowdown. So
yeah, neither am I.
Yeah. So let's go to some other videos and listen to what Todd and Jason had to say. There's a myriad of topics that they hit on. Primarily, I don't know about your phone. My phone's been blowing up. I've got everybody in Tampa texting me. Is Baker Mayfield going to be back? Is Mike Evans going to be back? I think, and we'll get Josh Capo and Bailey Adams' perspective on this too, as they kind of listen to the press conference. But what I heard from this was they're trying to do some deals to prevent Mike and Baker from hitting free agency, from opening up the door to potential suitors that could drive the price tag up for those guys. So I do think that there is a little bit of sense of urgency. And my view on this has changed after listening to them today. I thought they were okay with them hitting the market, seeing what type of market value they had, bring it back to the Buccaneers, much like they did with Carlton Davis, Jamil Dean, and Levante David. But these aren't linebackers and cornerbacks we're talking about. These are star wide receiver, face of the franchise, icon player in Mike Evans, and your starting quarterback, Baker Mayfield. So I think that there is an effort right now to get these guys under contract before free agency starts. But as Jason Light said today, if it happens and they hit the market, you know, they can't really prevent that.
Yeah.
They're not going to use the franchise tag on either player because it's too cost prohibitive. Josh will talk about franchise tag and Antoine Winfield and see if that still makes sense. But it seems to me that it's a full court press to get Mike and Baker re-signed before free agency.
And it makes sense, right? I mean, quarterback, most important position in the game of football. Wide receiver, very close as number two, maybe number three, depending on
who you ask. And it kind of, I wasn't even kind of planning this, but it kind of goes back to what I was just saying about how the Bucks have seen life without certain players. With Devin White, they can move on. Levante David, they can't just yet. We got to remember that Jason Light in particular in that Bucks front office, they saw what this team looks like when they don't have a good quarterback. Yes. When they had Jameis Winston and McCown before that. They saw how important it is. Once you get that quarterback, you can figure out everything else later, yeah. Whether it was Tom Brady or what Baker Mayfield did last season. So I think after talking to them today, it's very much the case of let's figure out Baker Mayfield at quarterback. Let's especially figure out Mike Evans at wide receiver. And then we can worry about plan B, C, D, E, and F at other positions after that. Because yes. if we all saw the financial situation they were in last year, and they were able to navigate it and get through it. If they got through that last season, they could figure it out this year and this offseason with how to still put out a functional winning football team that can go for the division again. So let's get to a couple of these videos. First of all, Jason Light commenting on having discussions with not just Baker Mayfield, but a plethora, a myriad of star Bucks players.
Where we're at, we've started talks with Baker, we've started with Mike, Antoine, Tristan, Levante. I think they're going well. We know what Mike, I don't want to single out any player, they're all priorities, but you asked about Baker in particular. Yeah. You know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Baker meant a lot to this team, this fan base, and this town. And I think we meant a lot to him. And I think it was a perfect marriage. I think I've said before, he sought us out. And he gambled on us. He saw it as a good situation. He saw it better than a lot of national people. He saw us winning two games. So he thought it would be good for him, and it certainly was. So I know he wants to be a Buck. We want him to be a Buck. So that's usually a good starting point. That's the same thing we said for a lot of these guys.
Obviously, teams are a little bit subject to change because players could be signed before free agency starts. But looking at the expected upcoming free agent class, is there any positions that you feel are a bit deeper?
In the overall free agency class? There always are. But like I said before, like we're focused on signing ours right now. And I mean, if we can re-sign Mike and Baker and Levante and Chase and Antoine and Tristan, I mean, we should be throwing another boat parade. So that's a pretty good class there.
And then Jason went a little more into detail about Mike Evans, saying that they want to make him a Buck for life. Shout out Trevor Sikkema. He always says, Mike, Buck for life, Evans.
Mike, that was obviously out there. Decided to table him and focus on the year. And man, did he focus on the year. He had a hell of a year. And I'm happy for him. And bet on himself, too. He's an unprecedented player that we want him to be a Buck for life. We're working towards that. It obviously takes two sides. I know what he wants to be a Buck. But, I mean, to get the deal done, I mean, we'll probably have to strain a little bit. But we're working towards that right now. And, a good deal is always... it takes some time, so for both sides.
Give and take on both sides.
Obviously, Mike's been an icon here for over a decade and had one of his best years last year as well, and he looks like a spring chicken, so you want both the guys back. And, obviously, when you test free agency, anything can happen. You hope for the best, and, you keep your fingers crossed.
Mike's probably asking who the quarterback is, and Mayfield's probably asking who am I throwing to. So they're kind of linked a little bit.
I don't know if they're linked. Mike throwing passes against every quarterback that's come through here. So, and Baker's thrown to a lot of people on other teams otherwise. But again, they both had great years. They helped us during our playoff run, and we're hopeful.
So, Bucks fans, I'm just prepping you right now. The Buccaneers are going to spend a lot of money in free agency. But very similar to how this team operated in 2021, it's re-signing a lot of their own players. but it's a lot of good players. Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, Antoine Winfield Jr. They're going to do a contract extension with Tristan Wirfs, even though he has a fifth-year option coming up. They want to get him tied up long-term. They talked about Lavonte David, Chase McLaughlin, Chase Edmonds, both Chases, Matt. So this team is not going to be super active in free agency because the lion's share of their cap space is going to go towards their own players. And that's okay because this is a team, Matt, that is still the reigning NFC South champion for the third year in a row, probably the early favorites if all those guys come back for winning it a fourth year in a row. And more importantly, this is a team that, as Todd Bowles accurately said today, was tied with Detroit heading into the fourth quarter in a game that, if they'd won that in Detroit, could have propelled them to the NFC Championship game. The Buccaneers, with one more good draft, getting their star players back, adding a few more value free agents in free agency, look out, man. They're going to be buying cases of Celsius to celebrate in that boat parade.
Absolutely. The Bucs are closer to being Super Bowl champions than they are plummeting. And if we're talking about the Super Bowl champions of energy drinks, of course, it's Celsius Energy Drinks, the official energy drink of the Peter Report podcast and PeterReport.com. And their newest line out right now is Celsius Essentials. They got some awesome flavors, including the Blue Crush and the Dragonberry. It's 270 milligrams of caffeine, and it's the tall boy can, so a little extra oomph for you when you have Celsius. If you need to know where to find Celsius Essentials or maybe some of the original Celsius flavors,
just like we did today,
whether it's the Celsius sparkling orange or the kiwi guava or a ton of great flavors, use the store locator like we did. It'll tell you the closest geographical location where you could pick up a Celsius. Might be a local Walmart or Target convenience store. Or if you're lucky enough, you may just stumble upon a
bodega.
And I love this barbershop quartet. And once you keep going to your bodega and you're like, I love Celsius. I just want to get more. I don't want to make a million different trips. That's understandable. I totally got you. That's when you go on to Amazon. You could buy it in bulk. Do the subscribe and save and have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. Could be a week, month, quarterly, yearly. You're in charge. You're the captain now. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Peter Report podcast. All right, joining the show now, our fellow colleagues at PeterReport.com. We got BA on the show, Bailey Adams, and Josh Capo is about to join us and further this discussion of all that went down as we spoke with Jason Light and Todd Bowles this afternoon.
Yeah, Josh, so an interesting day, obviously, started with all the Shaq Barrett news. You want to start there with the cap ramifications of Shaq Barrett's impending release?
Yeah, so I think there's a little bit of misconception out there as to the motivation for why the Bucks may have cut Shaq. Obviously, for the contract that he signed back in, 2021, his production didn't meet the average annual value of what he was getting. But more importantly, the Bucks most likely made this move not to save cap room, but rather to save cash. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is Barrett was due a $15 million roster bonus that would have been prorated over 2024 plus four void years. And it would have cost the Bucks $15 million in cash that they really just didn't feel like they should be spending on the production that he was bringing. So will they get some savings out of this move based on it being a post June 1st cut where they'll have to carry his $14 million salary cap hit up until June 1st? And then after that, they'll be able to reduce that to a little over $9 million here in 2024 and then take $17.4 million in a dead cap hit in 2025. So still on the hook for $26 million worth of cap hits. They're just going to be able to spread it over 2 years. It'll net them $5 million in cap savings once June 2nd hits. Now, does that help them here for free agency? Not really, but that money will be more than enough to pay their draft class that they're going to be drafting here in April.
I can't tell you how happy I am that we have you to explain all of that because I would not be there, but no, it is interesting to get into all that and kind of the other stuff that the Bucks can do as far as before free agency starts, before the franchise tag window closes, like Scott and Matt were talking about, potentially trying to get deals done with Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans beforehand. The other big thing that we were kind of, I don't want to say taken aback, but kind of got from Jason Light today was on the possibility of using the franchise tag on Antoine Winfield Jr. He was asked point blank, are you thinking you're going to have to use the tag on Antoine Winfield Jr.? And he said that their preference would just be to get a deal done with him and kind of not have to use that tag. He said the tag is a good thing to keep in your back pocket, but in an ideal scenario, they want to get a deal done with Antoine.
Yeah, and there are some reasons for it. I think the big thing to note here is Light didn't fully close the door on using the tag. Right. The tag is a useful tool in this particular negotiation. It's a useful tool for even like Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield because he could still use it on those two. The odds are that that's not going to happen, but he still has it in the back pocket to prevent any one of those three players from actually hitting the market. As it pertains to Winfield, what's interesting is the safety tag was the lowest of the three. Mike Evans, based on his cap hit last year, a franchise tag for him would be $28 million. Baker Mayfield, the franchise tag for quarterbacks, like $40 million. But for a safety, it's like $17.2 million, which for the play that Antoine Winfield has produced and the contract that he could get on the open market is a value. He's going to be most likely a $20 million man per year, or $20 million per year man or greater. And so that does provide the team with a little bit of savings. There are good reasons to get a long-term deal done. So three, really. Number one is it gives you the long-term security of knowing that you have one of the best, if not the best safety in football on your team. An all-pro, absolutely. Yeah. If not a pro bowler, an all-pro. on your team for several years, right? A contract for Winfield will most likely be a 3 or 4 year deal. Secondly, it allows them to actually improve their cap position here in 2024. A long-term deal will most likely mean that the first year cap hit is less than $17.2 million, right? So it gives them more flexibility here in 2024. The third reason is if they tag him for 2024, they're still going to want to get a long-term deal done.
Right.
That deal will happen in 2025. As we all know, outside of a pandemic, the NFL salary cap goes up every year. It went up $30 million from 2023 to 2024. A lot of these players, especially at the top end of their position groups when they're negotiating contracts, they look at the percent of salary cap in the year that their deal is signed. The current top of the market deal for safeties is Derwin James. He's making $19 million per year. He signed that in 2022, and that represented that $19 million AAV represented about 9% of the salary cap that year. If you take that 9% salary cap and apply it to this year's $255.4 million salary cap, you're talking $23-plus million per year for Winfield. Well, let's say the cap goes up another $30 million next year. That 23 is now over $26 million. So it's better to get the deal done early in terms of the overall size of that deal. So those are three really big reasons why I'm sure Jason Light and the Bucs organization, Mike Greenberg, are motivated to just get this done because they know Winfield's going to be a Buck for a long time and they would rather get the savings now than pay more later. So it all makes sense. But they can still use the tag and they can use it to get that long-term deal done. Because if they apply the tag, it does lock Winfield into the roster for 2024 and basically extends their exclusive rights negotiation window with him. Nobody else can negotiate with him, and they would have until July 15th to actually get a long-term extension done that would replace that tag. So it adds effectively like 4 months worth of a negotiating window. They can't get a deal done by July 15th, then the tag stays in place for 2024. They do this all over again in 2025.
Bringing this all back full circle, do you think that most likely scenario, that's what happens? They place the tag on them and keep negotiating until they have until July, because right now they're trying to get before Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield hit the market, trying to get those deals done now. Do you foresee those two being the priority, and then they say, well, we have the tag to place on him? Is there anything that would prevent them from wanting to do that?
I would place the odds of them getting the deal done with Winfield before having to place the tag, maybe 60-40 in favor of getting the deal done. I do believe that this front office is really good at walking and chewing bubble gum at the same time. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they can negotiate three different deals simultaneously and feel good about how each one affects the next and still get all three locked up before free agency hits in the middle of March. So I would say 60-40 in favor of not having to use the tag, but it's there. And what I will say is there's no world that I foresee where Antoine Winfield is not on the Bucks roster come opening day 2024.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing there is the franchise tag window or the franchise tag deadline for them to place the tag on a player is March 5th. So that's next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we will know within the next week whether or not they have to place the tag and keep negotiating. But what we got today from Jason Light was that the goal is, the end goal here is a long-term deal with Antoine Winfield Jr. Another player he talked about getting a long-term deal done with is Tristan Wirfs. And he's already locked in for 2024 on his fifth year option year from his rookie deal back in 2020. And then we talked to Light today about Tristan Wirfs, and he said really that the preference for Tristan is obviously having him long term, and nothing they would do this year, because right now they're locked in for that fifth year option on that money. They can't do anything with that money, correct?
They can actually.
Oh, they can do something with that money.
Actually, the precedent happened recently with a player that they're trying to do a long term deal with, which is Baker Mayfield. The Bucks can take his fifth year option and basically turn part of that salary into a prorated bonus and spread it out over void years. The Browns did that a few years ago with Mayfield on his fifth year option to help facilitate a trade to the Panthers, because the Panthers didn't want to pick up all of Baker's salary that year. So they can do that. It's obviously not their preference.
Right.
I think Light mentioned that specifically. The priority is to get that long-term deal done for Wirfs.
Yeah, and he said it wouldn't be for cap reasons. They want to get that deal done because they want Tristan Wirfs to be around for a long time as their left tackle. So, I mean, a couple of the guys that they got into were Winfield, were Wirfs. Someone that he said he hasn't had discussions about as far as franchise tag, or not franchise tag, but a new deal would be Carlton Davis. There's been some speculation about whether or not he'd be traded, whether he'd be cut, and he's on his last year of his deal. He said there's been no discussions about that at the time. It was very curt in his response about that. Kind of what kind of sense did you get from what he said and from what Todd Bowles said about Carlton Davis in particular?
Yeah, I think overall there's frustration with the organization. I think there's frustration with both those with Carlton Davis and with Jamel Dean in terms of their health, right? Both Jason Light and Todd Bowles mentioned that they didn't have the opportunity to really see those two players on the field together all that much. And that frustration seems to be throughout the entire organization. Does it mean that Carlton Davis is going to be a Buck next year or not a Buck next year? I didn't really get a full read. What I can say is with Carlton Davis, there are so many different options available to the team. Yes, this is the last year of his deal, but the Bucks haven't restructured him too much to where he's a negative cap hit if they happen to decide to move on from him. They would incur about $6.5 million in cap savings if they decide to part ways with Davis. Now, whether that be a trade or a cut, they could go either way. I personally think that Carlton Davis has trade value, that there would be teams in the NFL that would be very interested in bringing him in on what would end up being a much cheaper deal for them, because they wouldn't be on the hook for the salary cap dead hits or prorations from signing bonus. And so the Bucks could end up netting a draft pick out of Carlton Davis. I speculate a low third rounder or a high fourth rounder. And with only six draft picks in their quiver at the moment, that could be something that is appealing to them, especially because both Jason Light and Todd Bowles were very complimentary of Zion McCollum today in both of their kind of scrums.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting to kind of get a sense of frustration about the injuries that these starting cornerbacks have been dealing with, you know, year after year almost. Actually, let's hear from Bowles and Light about these cornerbacks in a video here.
Our healthiest corner was Zion. Again, if you had Dean, you didn't have Carlton. If you had Carlton, you didn't have Dean. I don't think they really played together towards the end of the season. So it was kind of a mixed bag, so to speak, from a health standpoint and an efficient standpoint. When we got them back both together, finally, we felt pretty good about it. It's just keeping those guys healthy. So you can never have enough good corners, because you're going to have to go about five deep during the season. And that's probably every year. I've been coaching like my 24th season, I might only have a healthy secondary maybe 3 or 4 years. So I'm used to that, and I understand that part of it. You just got to make sure they stay healthy.
So I think Todd Bowles provided some really great context. It's something that I've talked about in the past, in just secondaries get beat up, and that's not exclusive to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's not exclusive to Carlton Davis or Jamel Dean. It's a position that tends to incur a lot of nicks and bruises and miss time. He mentioned, you know, 3 or 4 years out of a 24-year coaching career that he's had healthy secondaries. And that requires a lot of depth, which the Bucs' depth was tested last year fairly well. McCollum played well. Chris Isian and the nickel as a undrafted rookie free agent played very well. And we're having Adam Slavon join me here. So we'll talk a little bit more about what Todd Bowles had to say. But Adam, what was your take in terms of what Todd Bowles had to say about Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean?
Yeah, I kind of want to get on your comments when you talk about Zion McCollum and just how he was the healthiest corner. And that's something that he reiterated when talking about the cornerback play this year. When you look at Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, it felt like 1 week it was either one or the other is out. But Zion McCollum, he had that starting role opposite whoever was suiting up, and he fared really well. He looks like he could be a starting boundary corner in the NFL. And then you also look at it, you have Kayvon Merriweather and Christian Isian, as you mentioned, as potentially being options at the strong safety spot. Isian, he played really well as a nickel, and then Merriweather kind of came along late in the season, but he did really well. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bucs go about maybe supplementing the defensive backs, because when you look at it, you can never have enough depth. And this past season really proved it. And they had some undrafted guys really have a big impact.
Yeah. Just Bowles was very complimentary of a few different secondary pieces. McCollum, what was interesting when he talked about him is he literally said he's going to play a lot next year. I just don't know where.
Yeah.
Right. And so we followed up and we asked, well, could he be in play for the strong safety position? And he said, it really depends on how the roster shapes up as we get through free agency and the draft. And so over the summer, he'll have a more clear understanding of how he's going to use McCollum. But he mentioned McCollum can play either corner spot. He can play either safety spot. He can play nickel. He really sees McCollum as a chess piece, not unlike Antoine Winfield, who over his first 4 years proved himself as an elite, you know, top-down safety, proved himself as a very capable and very good slot corner. And then more recently this year, we played a lot in the box and was used as a blitzer. He was an elite blitzer. So Bowles is collecting chess pieces in his secondary, and he seems to be very excited about a couple of those players. What else did he say that, you know, really stood out to you?
Man, you're talking about chess pieces. It reminds me, like, Antoine Winfield Jr., he's a king. He can really slide in anywhere, do anything. And he spent about the last 2 minutes when he was just talking to the local media about Antoine Winfield Jr. and saying that he had one of the best seasons that a safety could have. I mean, the statistics speak for itself. You mentioned before he had an all-pro season. And when you look at Antoine Winfield Jr., more than deserving of a new contract, and they're really expecting him to kind of continue leading the way in the secondary. So when he was talking about Antoine Winfield Jr., I kind of brought out talking about practice and how he sets himself apart by practicing and then really taking that and implementing it into game days.
Yeah, absolutely. And we even got a chance to ask him, do you think Antoine Winfield Jr. is the best safety in football, provided the context of kind of the versatility and all the places that he can play and excel at. And he did say, yes, I do think that he's the best safety in the NFL, which was really, really cool. So what other players kind of stood out with Bowles' comments to you?
Yeah, one other thing that stood out was when he mentioned Rashad White and kind of adding another back into the backfield going into next season, because Rashad White had 272 carries, 64 receptions. So that's 336 touches. For a lead back, that's a lot. And when you look at it, it's really not sustainable in the modern NFL when you have running backs and kind of split workloads and for health reasons, just keeping the longevity of a running back alive because they hit 28, 29, and that's kind of where they go downhill. So I thought it was interesting, maybe adding another back who can kind of take some of the load off Rashad White's shoulders because he really had a heavy workload this past season. I know about a week ago you mentioned some options.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
In the backfield, when you look at the combine this week, who do you have your eye on?
Yeah, so I think that there are a variety of different options, even just based off of what Jason Light and Todd Bowles said. You know, internal guys, both of them were complimentary of Chase Edmonds. Both mentioned, very much like Carlton Davis, there were some injury issues that prevented Edmonds from being a full-time kind of complement to Rashad White. And Light even mentioned that he feels like White is becoming an elite receiving back who had improved late in the season as a running back, but that they needed to get a second guy in there who can kind of spell him. So Edmonds is certainly sounds like he could be on the table for the team, but they could look to the draft. And while this draft doesn't feature the high-end talent that last year's did, that even in an NFL, a modern-day NFL, where you're not supposed to draft a running back in the first round, two were taking in, I want to say, in the top 15 picks.
Yep.
There are some quality backs that can be had in the mid-rounds. One that I talked about a little bit that I really enjoyed his tape was Kentucky running back Ray Davis. Obviously, there is a connection there with new offensive coordinator Liam Cohen. Davis is a bigger back. He's sturdy. He's got great contact balance, really good vision. Maybe not long speed, but there aren't many backs in the NFL that are going to break off 50, 60, 70-yard runs or have the opportunity to break those off on a very consistent basis. But Davis can get you those 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 yards that are the more common runs that really help unlock a running game. And he would be, I would say, a really good complement to Rashad White. Another one who I'm also high on, I've got him ranked pretty similarly on my own draft board, would be Marshawn Lloyd from USC. He's got some great burst and acceleration, good footwork. He, again, a contact balance guy. He can get to the perimeter. He's got some more burst and more long speed than Davis, but either one of those guys would be potential fits for the Bucs backfield that I think could be really good options to complement Rashad White. I would not be surprised if the Bucs use maybe an early day three pick or a late day two pick on a running back to help continue to build that running game that Light was very, very vocal about how they're continuing to try and build that. They want a better running game.
Yeah. And one that gets your thoughts, kind of talked about it a little earlier with Devin White. Don't want to beat a dead horse, but
dude,
but Todd Bowles, when he was talking today, kind of like the money musical chairs and like paying different guys, extending different guys, there isn't really enough money to go around for Devin White. And it was just kind of telling that, again, it doesn't sound like Devin White is going to remain in Tampa Bay, but like just his wording, what were your takeaways from that?
Well, I think it's important to say that he didn't say there wouldn't be enough money for Devin White, but he very quickly kind of expanded to this opaque, there isn't enough money to go around for every guy. And with Bowles being Devin White's biggest champion, and I think Matt really said it well earlier on the podcast, for him to come out and not have a full-throated defense of we're going to find a way to get this guy back on the team, I do think that the writing on the wall, it's been there. It's in permanent marker now. I just think Devin White's played his last snap as a Buccaneer, and for all parties involved, that's probably a good thing. Gives White a chance to reset his career in another market. He's still very well thought of by NFL fans outside of the Tampa Bay market. And it gives the team a chance to move on to a player who may bring a little bit more consistency to the position. Maybe a little bit less flash, but more consistency.
Yeah, and lastly, when you look at the offensive line, it was one of Todd Bowles' last statements when he was on the podium. He talked about Cody Mauch, and perhaps he's an offensive lineman or a player in general that hasn't been talked about enough for his transition into moving as a right guard this season for the Bucs after playing tackle at North Dakota State and just his progress. Bowles wants to see big things from Cody Mauch in his second season. What do you see kind of being the path to success for Cody Mauch as he enters year two?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to come down to body composition. He was very lean for his position. Coming as a left tackle and transitioning to right guard. And there's a lot of strength with Mauch, but there's a lot of room to grow that strength and grow his power and his ability to anchor and his ability to kind of dictate the point of attack. And so I think a lot of it's going to come down to his off-season training and how well he's able to add bulk, add mass, add muscle. And if he's able to do those things, I think it's going to give him a great basis to be able to move into year two with a big jump in play, because we saw a lot of flashes of awesomeness from Cody Mount. We just need to see more consistency from him. And I think that's what the Bucks are looking for. So before we kind of wrap up our coverage of day one of the NFL Combine, I do want to talk to you about an organization that is very consistent in how they're able to help manage your finances. So we're going to hear a few words from Amuni Financial.
At Amuni Financial, we help you live in the now.
Congratulations. We're so happy
Thank
for you.
Thank you.
And even though the now may feel very different, you still need to plan for the future.
How's retirement treating you?
Oh, just fantastic.
I know I say it all the time, but you really got to come up to Colorado.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
We can help you develop that plan to keep you on track so you can still prepare for tomorrow, today. Amuni Financial. Plan ahead. Stay ahead.
Managing your family's wealth means more to Amuni Financial than simply allocating your assets. It means legacy planning, brokerage and advisory services, retirement accounts, college savings accounts, and insurance services. With over 40 years of experience, not just in the Tampa market, but across the state of Florida and across America, let Amuni Financial help you plan ahead and stay ahead. Give them a call. Help support our efforts at Pewter Report with our advertising sponsors like Amuni Financial. Give them a call at 1-800-868-6864 or visit them on the web at amuni.com.
Let's finish out the show with some super chats, starting out with Meets McGee. Thank you, Meets McGee, for the $5 super chat.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Who says, my dream draft is left guard Barton in the first, Xavier Leggett or Malachi Corley in the second, edge rusher in the third, Pearsall in the fourth, free agent signing center and edge. I appreciate your comment and super chat about what you want the Buccaneers to do. Feel free to build out your own Bucs battle plan as well, which will be coming up in March. It will be interesting to see, obviously, Graham Barton's a guy that we've talked about a fair amount on the Pewter Report podcast. Jackson Powers Johnson as well, the center from Oregon is another that has been spoken a ton by us and Bucs fans and all that good stuff. But now with the Shaq Barrett move being totally official, it's clear and evident that there is a need for a new edge rusher. Does that necessarily mean that it's going to be in the first round? There's a lot of odds, but it doesn't mean 100% for sure. But definitely something to pay attention to.
Yeah. I appreciate this super chat here from William Keith, $4.99. Bucks could use one of everything in the draft, but the only severe needs are guard and center and edge. I say best player available, add one new guy to every room. Yeah, I don't see how the Buccaneers can really go wrong, or any team really, with the best player available approach. Yeah. When you reach for players to fill holes in positions of need, that's typically where you make mistakes. And Jason Light's done a really good job, sometimes even flooding the position, drafting two edge rushers last year. But Matt, as you talked about earlier, Anthony Nelson entering a contract here, Joe Tryon-Shuinka entering a contract here, and of course Shaq Barrett departing soon. So those are three people that may not be on this roster. We know Shaq won't be, but in 2025, you might need another edge rusher, and that's okay. As Tom says, Darius Robinson, a lot of momentum growing for the Missouri defensive end who will play outside linebacker in Tampa. As a matter of fact, tomorrow on the show, we've got Darius Robinson right there. We're going to talk to Darius Robinson, as a matter of fact, and all of the edge rushers here at the Combine. That's right. The focus is on edge rushers now with Shaq Barrett's departure, and we're going to have plenty of video interviews with some of the top edge rushers. We'll find out which ones have interviewed with the Buccaneers tomorrow, as well as linebackers. The Buccaneers could also use another linebacker with Devin White leaving. That opens up a depth chart spot. KJ Britt entering a contract year himself. Levante David, even if he re-signs. It's
probably a one-year
deal. Probably a one-year deal. So linebacker could also be another position that this team invests another draft pick in, despite drafting Servasi Adenis in the fifth round last year. So tomorrow's show at 4 o'clock Eastern time here on the Pewter Report TV network on YouTube. It's going to focus on edge rushers, but we're also going to talk linebackers tomorrow here at the Combine in NFL
Combine capital, Indianapolis.
Yeah, and you know, it's fun because we kind of shift gears a little bit. Today was very much more about the current roster and outlooks of certain positions and position groups and things like that. But now with the prospects coming in at each position, starting with edge rusher, which is perfect for the Buccaneers, this is where we find out who's met with the Bucs. Was it formal, informal, that type of stuff? And, you know, we'll give some highlights if there's good responses, not even specifically about the Buccaneers, but just you know, good responses in general. So let's actually talk about the pass rush a little bit. Todd Bowles, the reason why Shaq Barrett's not with the team is because he wasn't getting the job done getting after the quarterback, and
especially the four-man rush.
Yes, and that was a big pet peeve, not specifically Shaq Barrett, but a pet peeve of Todd Bowles this last season was the inability to get after the quarterback with just a four-man pass rush. So we had a lot to talk about that pass rush and some of the other outside linebackers. I think there's some Jason Light in this as well.
Obviously, Yaya had a great year for his rookie. We're looking forward to him taking an even bigger step next year. But we have some young guys, Marquise Watts, Jose Ramirez, who was awesome for us in practice all year. We talked to the tackles about how good he was, a bit of a look, you know, team player he was, but he was actually giving them trouble most of the year, which was a good thing. It's not speaking bad poorly on them, but that's good what Jose was doing. So I'm very excited about that. We've got Anthony Nelson, obviously. We do have a good young group there. Obviously, we're always trying to add them.
I was frustrated with the four-man pressure. The pressure that we give when we go five or more is outstanding. Now, we missed some, but we fell off of them. But the four-man pressure at times was a little stale and had too much time to throw the football, and that stands with a lot of big plays as well as the secondary.
Well, to be fair, Tom, you don't have Myles Garrett and Khalil Mack and the Boses. So you got to be inventive a little bit.
This game is not fair. You always have to be inventive. but you don't want to pressure all the time. You want to be just as dangerous with a four-man rush than you do with five or more. So we want to shore that part of it up. And some of it was getting out of our pass rush lane. Some of it, we were max protecting with everybody in there. Some of it, we got to cover better in the back end. But the four-man pressure has got to be better. The pressure we create, we can get to, and I'm very confident in that at all times, but we got to be better at four man. Well, the good thing is all of them played. You know, we don't have anybody that's going to play for the first time. Even Watts played some snaps. Yaya played a ton of snaps. Joe played a ton of snaps. Nelson played a ton of snaps. Cam played a ton of snaps. So we got guys that played, always looking for pass rushes. You never turn them down, but we're confident in the guys we have.
You know, folks, when it comes to pressure, sometimes it can be a pressure situation when you're trying to sell your house or if you're trying to find the right house. Under pressure, it can cost you some money sometimes. You make some bad investments. You make some bad choices when it comes to real estate. Well, that's your top investment. Don't do that. Go with the pro. Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, Eric and Caitlin Gross, are tremendous. They do a great job with their real estate business, which is the official realtor of Pewter Report. The Eric Gross Group, they've done hundreds of transactions in this crazy real estate market in all types of situations. They've got the experience that you need to take the pressure off your home buying or selling experience. They've got the top-notch market knowledge and communication and commitment to excellence that sets them apart from other realtors. Their clients aren't just transactions, they're lifelong friendships. Let the Eric Gross Group take the pressure off. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group, or check out their website, housesinfla.com. That's housesinfla.com, or give them a call. Eric's number is 513-907-4271. Again, visit their website, housesinfla.com, for their latest inventory and also open house information. No matter where you are on your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report.
And after you visit that website, make sure you check us out on all of our social media. We've had a lot of great content today from the Combine, and that will continue this week. And you can find it at a number of different places on X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. That's at Pewter Report in our YouTube channel, Pewter Report TV. We'll have a lot more videos coming out about Jason Light and Todd Bowles throughout the week, plus all the great stuff with the prospects. So before we end the show, we got one more super chat. Thank you to LDBC's Most Wanted for the $4.99 Super Chat, who says, am I crazy for saying Todd Bowles can't afford to go into the season without a premier edge rusher. Todd shut down Mahomes with a pass rush.
Yeah.
That is true, but he shut down that pass rush mostly because of Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul at the time. We know Todd Bowles loves to blitz. I think Josh Capo made a great point earlier today about that. Antoine Winfield Jr. was like their best pass rusher. Yeah. But that's not the case for a lot of teams. And in that Super Bowl specifically, Todd did not blitz as much. He played a bunch of cover two and relied on that four-man pass rush. That was pretty damn good in that game in the Super Bowl when they most needed it. But did not have it last season. And I think that especially hurt in games like against the Detroit Lions, where Jared Goff had a lot more time to throw and pick apart that defense and kind of just do what he needed to do, whether it was in the regular season or that divisional round playoff game. So that's definitely an area of improvement that the Bucs will be looking for coming up this season.
Yep. We've had a great start to Indianapolis. We appreciate all of the support from you guys today with the Super Chats and the great comments and your participation tonight. Again, we're going to go 4 o'clock the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week with our Pewter Report podcast here on Pewter Report TV. We encourage you to subscribe. Please help us grow our numbers to 14,000 Pewter people. We really appreciate it. And also, with those videos, make sure you're hitting the thumbs up. Give us a like and a comment that helps boost the algorithm. Gets us in front of more awesome Pewter people like you.
And tomorrow we will be doing roll call. So a little special Wednesday edition of roll call.
But that's too much to get to today.
Yeah, it's way too much to get to, but we haven't forgot about it, Pewter people. So we'll do that on tomorrow's show. So that's going to do it for us. For Bailey Adams, Josh Capo, Adam Stefan, Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.
Out.